get a chance to take our swings right now with a regularly scheduled guest on this and many shows here on the station. He's our Steeler Insider from the Post-Gazette, Ed Bouchette. Ed, good afternoon. How you doing?
You know, Vinny, I'm over here on the south side. I decided to take a little stroll outside the facility here, and I'm looking at a nice, calm Monongahela River and the leaves changing and the sun shining in the 50s, and I got to say, man, that's better than the Mike Tomlin press conference.
Yeah, there's something, that there's fresh air out there. I mean, it feels good. And the Mike Tomlin press conference, when it came, once again, it's reading like a MASH unit, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's trying to downplay the injuries, you know, like maybe some of these guys have a chance to play who don't.
Ed, I thought the most interesting thing he said was obviously they're not going to grasp for straws outside the building, and talked about maybe playing four defensive linemen at one time and only two linebackers, maybe five defensive backs. I think Troy Polamalu is almost like a linebacker and can be used as such. I know he's played Timmons' spot in the nickel and dime. You think that's the way to go? I mean, that's about all they have left with all these linebackers hurt.
Yeah, I agree, Ron. I mean, if Jason Worlds can't play, you only have five linebackers with Morty Ivey being your only backup. And all four guys, three of the four would not have started, you know, been your starters, certainly not started in the opener, and Lawrence Timmons playing out of position. So, yeah, I could see that. I also could see them doing what they did against New England, what they've been doing, six defensive backs. The only problem with that is Baltimore's not the kind of throwing team that New England is, per se. And, you know, Ray Rice gouged them on a run. So if among those six guys, you better have your safety up.
Ed Bouchette with us here on Sports Radio 93.7, brought to you by Honda North. Ed, James Harrison, you know, see, here's the interesting part about life these days. You have the coach saying one thing, and James Harrison may be saying something else here on his Facebook page. Coach says he's cleared for practice, which he also says, but he says, looks like I won't be playing this weekend, but at least I'm cleared for practice. Worst case scenario, I'll be back after the bye for sure. Is that, what does Mike Tomlin call it, laying down? Is that him kind of deacon people a little bit, or is it just you believe the coach, don't believe the Facebook?
I would think that James was being truthful, because he got upset that his agent said anything that happens, he could play this week, and he came right out and said, I've been cleared to practice but won't play on Sunday. I think James is being truthful, and I'll tell you why, is because Mike also made it sound like James Ferrier and Lamar Woodley could play, and we know they're not.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's kind of interesting. In the days of Facebook, you probably got to check your players' tweets and Twitters before you jump into the press conference, huh?
Ed, what an offensive performance. The time of possession, 39 minutes. I think 78-50 edge in plays. Boy, you've said all along they've gotten away from the run. This is a pass-first team. It sure looked that way to me on Sunday.
Yeah, and Ron, as I wrote in the PG today, 40.5% of the time they're running. I went back to 1969 when Chuck Knoll took over, and that's the lowest rate they've had since then. And the previous low was 09, was like 42 point something, and that's when Art Rooney came out and, you know, said we need to run the ball better. Nobody's saying that right now, even though they probably do need to run the ball better, although I thought Mendenhall did on Sunday. I don't know that you're going to be able to do that against Baltimore, what you did against New England, though. It's, you know, number 32 defense versus number one.
Ed, what do you do with Hines Ward this week if he can play? And I know they said Emmanuel Sanders has some sort of knee issue that they got to get checked out. How do you work Hines back in there after that performance last week?
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders, his mother also died, Ron. So I don't know, you know, the kind of double whammy that's going to have on him this week. But I put Hines right back in there. That's my feeling, especially when you're going to play the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think there's any other team in the league that gets anybody's attention more than Baltimore, and especially Hines Ward. He loves playing against them. They hate playing against him. They're always, the defensive backs are always looking over their shoulders for Hines. Their head's on a swivel, and I think it affects them a little bit too. So I play him. Doesn't mean I don't use those other guys, but I make sure Hines Ward's out there.
Ed Bouchette with us from the Post-Gazette, our Steeler Insider here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan. What Raven, what's the Ravens team that you think we'll see this weekend? I mean, we've talked about this with the Steelers, you know, earlier. What's their personality? What are they? What about the Ravens? I mean, we saw that comeback by Joe Flacco. We saw him getting pounded by Arizona in the first half of that game. What are the Ravens, or what do we know that they are so far this year?
Yeah, Vinny, I didn't see that game. I did watch the Jacksonville Monday night game in which their offense was just putrid. And, you know, I don't think there's – well, I don't think they're nearly as good as what they appeared to be in the opener against the Steelers. Seven turnovers will help that cause. But I don't know what to expect. But if you look that bad against Jacksonville and you fall down 24-3 against Arizona, and I know they came back to win that game barely, but nevertheless, you're at home. We just saw Arizona 2 weeks ago. They ain't that good.
I still think their defense is pretty strong, though, and as you pointed out, number one in the league. I still have not seen him block Terrell Suggs yet for about 3 years. You still have Ray Lewis, Ed Reed there. And Nada as well has been just an absolutely disruptive force. Are you confident this offense will hold its own against those guys?
I think it's going to be low scoring, Ron, and that's what I thought. You know, well, this past week we thought it was going to be high scoring, and we were a little off on that. But I think this is going to be low scoring. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. And I think you have to get that quick passing game going. I don't know that you're going to be able to run on them. And I don't think you're going to be able to take your shots deep on them too often either. So I think Heath Miller could be, again, a big part of this offense on Sunday.
Ed, we saw the offensive line second game in a row last week. Do we see continuity, you think, again this week?
Yeah, nobody's hurt. They came out of that pretty good. I mean, linebackers were destroyed, but the offensive line is held up. Ligurski's out, but he hasn't played in a while. So, yeah, I think for the third time in a row, we're going to see the same offensive line, Vinny, and they've done a decent job.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been quite impressed, and I think Ben has kind of responded to that, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the quick passes helped them. But I saw many times in which Ben had a lot of protection. He was sacked five times, but I don't think half of those were the line's fault. One time he held the ball way too long, and I don't know about those two at the end if even they should have been put in that position.
Ed, we know this game's for first place in the division. We know what Baltimore can do. The Steelers can do. Are we sleeping on Cincinnati just a little bit? Off to that 5-2 starter. What was Lee Flowers' quote years ago, paper lion or paper champions or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know who's the paper champions this time. It certainly isn't Cincinnati. But, you know, Ron, I hate to talk like Mike Tomlin, but this time next week we can talk about Cincinnati. I don't think anybody's thinking about Cincinnati. If Cincinnati were unbeaten, I don't think anybody'd be thinking about Cincinnati this week.
Ed Bouchette with us, brought to you through the courtesy of Honda North. Is there any residual from, I mean, there's a little talk about, you know, the two-point conversion, the chop blocks, you know, Harbaugh dancing up and down, exalting the crowd when they were in Baltimore. Is there any kind of residual with these guys about that? Or is it kind of, okay, that was then, this is now, we just go out and beat them?
Oh, you can bet they're going to use that, Vinny. They may not be talking about it publicly, but I guarantee you they're all talking about it, thinking about it. You know, Harbaugh pulling those antics, and also the way he was celebrating after the game, like they had just won their Super Bowl. You know, they've fallen back to earth a little bit since then, and they'll fall like a thud if they lose in Pittsburgh.
You know, Ben has been a different quarterback since then, too. I mean, hasn't thrown as many picks. I mean, he's been, I don't want to say stellar, but he's been pretty darn good and stellar in a couple of games. Was that like, I mean, obviously it was a wake-up call for them that first game, but has the whole team kind of reacted like that, or are we really seeing just Ben being the progression of Ben maturing as a quarterback and as a player?
Well, he did have nowhere to go but up in that.
Yeah,
game,
I mean, it was ugly, of course.
He had five turnovers, three interceptions, two sack fumbles. I don't know that the quarterback could look much worse than that unless you're fumbling a snap with the opportunity to kick the game-winning field goal like the overrated Philip Silvers, or Rivers, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like Phil Silvers.
I was going to say Sergeant Bilko was looking pretty good out there.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, there's all kinds of things. You know, football is such a funny game because a quarterback is only as good sometimes as his receivers and vice versa. And same with the offensive line. I mean, if they have a good running back, they look better. If the running back has a good offensive line, he looks better. So I think there's been a lot of improvement in certain areas on this team. At wide receiver, you know, they've gotten more faith in those young guys. Ben probably has too. They're probably more on page with each other now that they've worked together. You know, they didn't have a chance in the offseason. And these, you know, two of those guys are just second-year guys. So I think a lot goes into that, Vinny.
Ed, we've spent a lot of time talking about all the good things from New England. Mike Tomlin mentioned the red zone problems. I'm a little concerned about Sean Sweezum as well, missing another 43-yarder. Is that an issue at all, do you think, with this team?
I think it should be, Ron. I think if you look at his percentages, he's made 15 of 22 maybe. I was just looking at this morning. I think it's 15 of 22. Jeff Reed got cut for, you know, it's kind of a similar percentage. Now, he has some other issues going on here, but nevertheless. And then Sean Sweezum, after the Steelers roar down with the opening series, score a touchdown, go up 7-0, he knocks one out of bounds and gives the Patriots the ball to start out on a 40.
Not what you want to see, that's for sure. Ed, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Of course, with the courtesy of Honda North. We will, see you and talk to you and hear from you later in the week.
Okay, fellas. Thanks.
All right. Ed Bouchette joining us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fanny.